nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. As you know, we talk often here at OneRadioNetwork.com, like it's only now. There is no past, there is no future, especially on our Friday shows, which are kind of unique. Please join us every Friday. But so you can see, I'm just living in the now, because I'm frozen in time. So it's pretty good, huh? See how I can just do that? You can't go past or future if you're just frozen. Just kidding. My interface on our camera is not happening this morning, so it's just our guest on camera, and you've seen enough of me anyway. So I just grabbed the red pill, and we're going to get it back working in the next few days or so. And this is one this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Good morning. It's May 12th. Excuse me, got all choked up there. May 12, 2021. Later on this morning, or around noon, Melody Kay, she's a very fascinating lady, and she is totally into all the geopolitical shenanigans going on in the world, and she's quite an interesting lady, and we're going to talk to her at 12 noon after we speak with our first guest. Our phone lines are always open, 888-663-6386. That's 888-663-6386. As you saw on the outset, Penny Kelly is our guest, and she's an author, she's a teacher, publisher, a consultant, naturopathic physician, a researcher on consciousness, one of our favorite subjects because we believe that that's the only thing that matters. Early in her career, she worked for corporations and things like that, and then she did all kinds of different studying, and she raised grapes for Welch's Food, grape juice. Wow. And she has some property up there in Michigan, and she has moo cows and stuff like that. So we're going to have fun talking with we have Penny Kelly. Good morning, Penny. It's great to see you again. You look great, girl. And it's been a few years.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. I was trying to remember, and I was like, well, I don't know. It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. How are things up in Michigan with your stranger than ever governor? A God lover? You know, she's trying, but my God.
If you count Lansing as its own little world, maybe things are, they think they're reasonable there.
Right.
But here in the southwest corner, we're not having much of that, if I could say it nicely.
Yeah.
And it's really, otherwise, it's really, it's kind of repressive. My kids come home from, you know, Missouri and Arkansas and Texas, and they're always like, oh my gosh, you guys are still doing masks. You're still doing this. You're still, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Some things are open. A lot of stuff still closed. A lot of people out of business. Business is lost. Yeah.
Penny Kelly writes
really
a lot about consciousness and our states of consciousness. And we're going to talk about that. She's written, written or edited 23 books. My goodness. And so you've been interested in the human condition and who we are, what we are, why we are, where we are for a very long time, haven't you?
Yeah, about 41 years now, 42 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been studying, trying to figure out, what are we doing here? What's this about?
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. It's about the same for me, too. I had a kind of woke up thing in the late 70s. I had this experience, and I know you had one too, where you just kind of like, somebody said, wake up and smell the coffee. Yeah. What was yours like?
It was pretty much like that. Uh-huh. It was just, you know, people don't really know that a lot of people have still not heard of Kundalini. And they don't really know what it is. If you look at the literature, it says, oh, it's this spring at the base of the spine
that comes up and all that, yeah.
Right. But what it really is, scientifically speaking, is it's an influx or an inflow of a huge pulse of electromagnetic energy that runs all the way through the body without obstruction and rewires every bit of you. Mm-hmm. And you end up in a state of awakened consciousness, we'll call it.
Yeah.
And there are various stages or levels of that awakening. But it's pretty profound. It's very frightening to have consciousness that has no boundaries. Is really quite terrifying, and you don't sleep and you don't eat like you used. Stuff changes, especially your awareness, because now you're reading people's minds and in and out of the body. And if you didn't have any experience with that kind of stuff beforehand, yeah, it's like I'm going crazy. I'm going insane.
I'm just
this
going
is
crazy.
What insanity.
I'm just going crazy. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, yep. Well, I know the sleep thing. I'll tell you what, there are nights, it's even today, even last night, where I'll just be awake for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours and just closing my eyes and doing my mantra and in and out of the body. And who knows? You know, it's sometimes I don't even know. Have you experienced where you don't even know if your body's really sleeping or not? I mean, you just don't know. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I think the thing to be aware of is that the body needs sleep, but that doesn't mean the consciousness never sleeps.
Which is who we are, right, Penny? Right? We're just awake little sunbeams,
yeah? And that state that you're talking about, I call that suspended animation, where you get into bed and you lay there and 6 hours go by and you're aware of 10 minutes maybe, or you're aware of things,
right. But
you're not sleeping. And all of a sudden you realize, it's time to get up. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. and you don't have the feeling of having slept. And that's, you know, that was 3 years of that. I didn't sleep for 3 years in the beginning of Kundalini. Now it starts up all by itself now and then. And I'll have a period of, you know, being super awake and super aware of all kinds of things. And then it settles down a little. But I retain the gifts that go with that, the clairvoyance, the clairaudience, the clairsentience, the ability to put consciousness anywhere in space and time that I want to put it.
Yes.
And that's really, that's nice to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So really that's what's going on when we, in my experience, and you tell me if you're on resonating with this, as soul, who we are, right, the state of consciousness, when our body sleeps, we are always doing something, right? I like to say we're not just sitting in the middle of our forehead wherever we hang out, just sitting there waiting for the body to wake up. Come on, I mean, you know that. So that's what dreams are. We are really having experiences with people, right? And other people, yeah. So do you remember a lot of your experiences when your body is sleeping? Do you remember lots? Dreams, what we call dreams?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my, yeah. Yeah, it's a continuous flow for me. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, when I realized I wasn't sleeping, I began to have these what I called outrageous experiences. And then I would wake up and realize, I was sleeping. How come I didn't know I was sleeping? You know, that kind of craziness.
Yeah.
And you realize eventually when I started studying dreams, which is now, I've been studying those for 40 years, I began to realize that consciousness demands experience. It has to have experience in order to know it is a separate individual existing in the medium of source, and so the body goes to sleep, but consciousness doesn't. It goes out and creates all sorts of other realities, and that's very, very a different way of thinking about dreams from what most people think.
Right.
And I trained myself to be aware and to be awake in the dream, and the trick is You never tell yourself, I didn't have enough sleep. You never tell yourself, I didn't sleep. You say, when I get out of this bed, I'm going to get up and be fully.
Well, we'll talk about that because that's very important with our health that we talk a lot about, Penny. I mean, we're to the point where we don't even recommend that people say, I have a low thyroid, or, you know what I mean, or I have this, or I have that. I wouldn't, if we tell our thyroid that it's low, guess what? It's low. I know that's how it works.
Voila.
Wow. It's like, fascinating, isn't it?
It is. So powerful. And we keep looking for power in all the wrong places. It's in us, and it's to be used here first.
Yeah.
So, lot to learn.
Yeah, kind of like looking for love in all the wrong places, right? Penny Kelly is with us. This is Patrick Timpone. If you care to join the show, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So when you, after this this whole thing happened to you, this kind of awakening you called Kundalini, it's called a lot of different things, I think. It just depends on your viewpoint on it. What were some of the experiences that you had where you thought were like, whoa, what's going on here? Am I going bonkers? Or can you explain some of the, you talked about fabulous experiences that you had?
Wow, there's a lot of them. I think some of the most disturbing in the beginning were moments where I would discover I was in two places, mm-hmm. in two different locations, vastly different. Or I was in one location, but in two different times, and I could see what was happening in some other time frame, as well as what was happening right in front of me. And that was sort of like, okay, what?
What?
You know, one of those absolutely confusing moments. Other times I would be in one place and I would leave the body involuntarily without any effort. And over time, I discovered that when I was curious about something or wanted to see something or wanted to know something, I would go there.
Yes.
And that was unheard of. You know, I wasn't raised to think like that or to do that kind of thing. Sure. So that was very disturbing. There were times, let's go back to the dreams for a minute.
Uh-huh.
I had experiences in Africa, in tribes in which I was somebody totally different. And I knew that I was in that time frame and had a life there. And then there was another whole string of experiences in Polynesia. Those, you come back from those and you are different. You have this, you're thinking about that. It's in the, it runs in the background of your consciousness no matter what you're doing for the next week or two. And then you get quiet finally, and that happens again, and you have a new perspective, a new aspect of yourself in another time, and then you begin to discover some things you did that were just maybe not very nice or were not good.
Not very nice. I like the way you put that, not very nice. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and so then you end up feeling like you end up pretty humble. This is how you realize, oh, wow, I really shouldn't be criticizing them. I did the same thing in another time frame.
Sure. Don't you think it's an easy argument to make that all of us have lived many, 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 many lives. Who knows? Thousands, millions, who knows?
Oh, yeah.
So we probably have done it all, Penny. We've probably killed people, been killed, been chased by tigers. Maybe we were tigers. Who knows? We've done a lot of stuff to get here, haven't we?
Yeah. We have, and we could learn from all of that and begin to say to ourselves, what is the true nature of reality?
Yeah.
Well, we don't do that. We just make the mess all over again and say, what the heck? And we don't take it into account. Nobody's gathering information. That's one of the things I've tried to do with my books is, hey guys, here's what I've learned. Anybody else? And there's amazing numbers of people that are out there who have had similar experiences and just kind of blew past it. Didn't really think about what does that mean for reality. And yeah, the reality we're in is very demanding, very entrancing. And so everybody's in a trance, focused on that reality. And it's really something that I think we're going to have to stop the world, I want to get off kind of thing, mm-hmm. and ask ourselves, okay, what do we know about reality? And what you just said, you don't even say, I have a low thyroid, or I did this, or why are we talking to ourselves like that?
Yeah.
We're talking to ourselves. That's what we're doing.
And so. I would say too, Penny, that there's not anything really more detrimental to our health than to be telling ourselves that this or that is not right. I mean, that's very powerful, right? Whew.
Yeah, it is. And powerful. You know, over the last few years, I've had, I think it was back when I was 46, I got severe rheumatoid arthritis and ran right smack into all of the platitudes and all the BS that was floating around out there about health and mm-hmm. How to get healthy. And some of my friends were getting things like MS and cancers and high blood pressure and all this stuff. And it was nothing that was out there that was being offered. None of that was helpful. Mm-hmm. And it's come down to for me now, it's about breath and it's about talking to my body. And having conversations with a bone or a muscle,
yes, ma'am.
Or an eyeball or and talking it back online. And I think we just, if we did a lot more of that, there'd be a lot less suffering
sure.
in the world.
Sure.
A lot.
And indeed. And then when we take it to another level yeah. where if we go to a doctor that we don't recommend, then whatever. If somebody tells you have something like cancer or this or that, it's very, very hard on the body when yeah. if we believe that. And most people do, right? Because they believe in doctors. It's very difficult, very difficult.
Well, sometimes there is a cancer, but you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the enemy, though.
You can't
right?
stop there.
Yeah.
Right. You have to ask yourself, what was my part in that? It didn't just attack out of the blue. That whole military model is not helpful. And we have to get past that. You know, the war on cancer, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not the way to go about it. One of the people that was in, what's that book? The Secret.
Yeah.
The guy who had the airplane accident. I don't know if I'm free to say his real name, maybe, Norm. But anyway, he had a broken neck and he was paralyzed from the neck down. And he just decided, no, I'm going to walk out of this hospital. And he did. A couple months later, I don't know if it was 4 or 5 months, 6 months, but he talked his body back into being able to operate normally. And I was at his house, he lives in California, a couple of years ago. And it just struck me how powerful we are. He had this whole room full of bowls, singing bowls, mm-hmm. and played those bowls, just surrounded, you know, us with that sound. And it's a sound to lose your old self in. We would normally say a sound to get lost in. That's not what you say. You say it's a sound to lose your old in. And you come out of that with a new self. And he's been such an inspiration in many ways. Because the body is listening. Breath is going where we target our attention. Energy. Consciousness, that's all we are, is a bunch of energy, consciousness, and breath.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in charge? We are.
Yeah. Well, so, that's the big deal, isn't it? Where we, once we understand what you're saying, and we talk about it a lot here, is then it takes a great responsibility, doesn't it? I mean, I think that's why a lot of people don't even want to go there, because it's too much responsibility. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, no. What?
Right.
I create, I'm creating all
people
of this?
People are afraid of power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't want the power because they don't want the responsibility.
Yeah. Well, let's do a little break here, and then we're going to talk about what's going on today, and how you and I and our listeners have created this Matrix movie that's going on today. It's like, how do we do this? Because we're involved, because if it's on our reality, right, then, you know, we have a part in it. So we're going to talk about that, and so maybe it'll help us all feel better about how silly it is outside. So stay right there. A while back, we spoke with Dr. Anthony Kleinsmith, who formulates the colostrum for Sirthrival. Dr. K, colostrum has anti-aging properties?
Oh, absolutely. It has the entire, what they call, IGF-1 superfamily. We've all heard of the HGH. That's just two, and they're synthetic. Well, we have the whole superfamily, and it's all natural.
Right in colostrum, and it comes from moo cows.
It comes from moo cows. I mean, think about it. That IGF-1 and the IGF-2 and all the other growth factors are naturally occurring to jumpstart that baby, that newborn calf's lifespan and immune system and growth patterns. Moo cows make their colostrum 6 to 8 weeks prior to birth, and it's about 1,000 times more potent in all of its immune factors and anti-aging factors than what any human mother can produce.
It is a great time to buy colostrum for the first time, or to get some more if you're a regular user. It is, because we have it on sale right now. Thank you, Patrick. Dr. K, we haven't talked to him for a long time. If you go on any Sirthrival link on OneRadioNetwork.com, you can grab yourself some colostrum at 20% off. This is a great product. Get a kilo. Get a kilo to start. That's what we recommend. Go ahead and get a kilo. Go for it. And for those of you in Portland, that's 2.2 pounds. Just kidding. I really am creating Portland karma. I've got to cut that out. Okay. I'm going to start picking on some other city. Anyway, I'll end up living there, right? You know, it'll be a year from now, and I'll say, how did I end up here? Anyway, 2.2 pounds. Use promo code. You don't have to use the promo code. Any Sirthrival link on OneRadioNetwork.com, and get yourself, start with a kilo, and boy, put that in your smoothies, and you can mix it up with cacao, maple syrup, make your little confections, and get this into your kids' smoothies and give them some really, really good nutrition. Colostrum, one of the best ones out there. Brian Clement, who heads up the Hippocrates Institute in Florida, talked about saunas here. Elke writes in for Brian Clements. Would Brian give us some tips on what supplements we would need to take if we do saunas several times a week to replenish lost minerals from sweating?
Well, Dr. Rao, who you had on, is a colleague and a friend. We do often conferences together in Europe, and I agree. We have saunas here. I take a sauna, so you know this, no matter where I travel in the world, 365 days a year. I think it's mandatory.
Really?
87%, listen closely, okay. 87% more heavy metals and chemicals come out in an infrared.
Well, no wonder we feel better when we take these saunas. You bet your booties, Patrick. These are great. We have a very special price on these infrared saunas, and if you're watching on video, then you can see the picture of it. If you're on audio, you can go to our website and click on the sauna ad on the front page, and you can see the picture, and your head sticks out there. And this is a good thing, because I studied Ayurvedic medicine quite a few years, and they caution that you don't want to get your head hot. You want to kind of keep a cool head and a hot booty, and you can use your imagination there. But a cool head is what you want. And so you stick your head out, and this baby gets really hot, and you'll sweat. Put a timer on there in case you fall asleep, which is, you know, we've had our times when we do that. And then you can jump out, and what I like to do is into a nice cold shower. And you talking about waking up and smelling the coffee. Hello, hoo-ah. It's pretty fun. Very, very powerful. These saunas are very low EMFs from the floor to the bottom of the chair. We have some magnetic energy. You know, the kind of same thing next to your refrigerator or in your car or next to your juicer. It's nothing to concern about. No RFs or anything like that. And our price, if you email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, is patrick@oneradionetwork.com is $1,195 tax title license anywhere in the lower 48. For those of you in Petaluma, that does not include Alaska or Hawaii. See, I just moved away from the other one. And then we ship them all over the world. All over the world. We do indeed. So wherever you are, we'll ship them with the proper plug. And the only place we haven't been able to ship them is Germany. And so I don't know what's going on with Herr Merkel, but she's not a sauna fan or something. But just email me and we'll hook you up wherever you are and we'll get you going. Patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on oneradionetwork.com.
Indeed we do. We talk about the only thing that really matters around here is who we are, why we are, where we are, and where we're going. And what's it all about, Alfie? I mean, really, isn't that true, though, Penny? I mean, that's really all that matters in life, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's about us.
It's about us. It's about us. Yeah. I was doing the dishes this morning, and I thought about the term, and I wanted to bring it up for you because I think it's so cool, is when we say knock on wood, you know that term, knock on wood?
Yeah.
So somebody will say something like, I don't know, my car hasn't broken down in 5 years, right? And they'll go knock on wood. And what came to me this morning, the reason that's profound, and what do you think? It's because when we get dogmatic about something, right? Oh, my car hasn't broke down in 5 years, isn't that a breakdown? That's when spirit will generally, not always, but come in and show you that the car can break down because it's better not to be on one side or the other, but more down the razor's edge, or as Buddha called the middle path, or there's been a lot of terms for it.
Yeah, it's a dynamic world. It's changing all the time. You have to be paying attention. And anything that is physical, I'm trying to find some. Here's a flashlight, for instance. They need to be cared for. They need energy. They need a constant input of energy because they aren't the kind of system that we are, which is self-maintaining. And so if you have a car, you're going to have to put energy in. And that energy is some of your consciousness extended into that car.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't do that. If you don't pay any attention, you don't care, and you're not listening, and you're not aware, well, you know, if it runs out of oil, it's done. Yeah. Or something, if it runs out of gas, you're not going very far. So
what I was kind of alluding to, that, yes, that's very true. I've known people that they name their car, they talk to their car. I've seen them over the years, and their car runs for 30, 40 years, never, nothing, because they named their car. It's an energetic thing. You say, well, how's that possible? I mean, gosh, a carburetor is solid, but nothing's really solid, right? Nothing's really, it's all vibrations.
Well, it is, and energy is consciousness. Consciousness is energy, so if you never put any consciousness in, you never put any energy in, and the whole thing needs energy, it's going to go down. Mm. Things interact, and they continue to interact. And once you understand some things about plasma physics, which I think we're moving toward, I think we're coming to a point where E equals MC squared is going to be replaced by fields and fibers and filaments and charge. And that's really going to make it, everything that was not possible under Einstein is going to be, it already is.
We just don't know it. Yeah, we just don't know it, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so I think plasma physics is the thing to understand, and then that requires, calls out a different way of seeing the world. So And when you see or when you realize that everything is energy and energy is consciousness in motion, then you begin to go, oh, maybe I need to put a little energy into that. Maybe I need to pay attention, not so much pay money, pay attention. And that same thing, pay attention, holds whether you're feeding yourself or healing yourself or educating yourself or fixing some of your equipment. It's all the same. You know, when I was an engineer, we had these huge machines, and the machines would break down. And so everybody would stand around doing nothing, and, you know, then they would call me, and I would go down and I would take my favorite repairman and my favorite tool maker and say, you know, what do you think? What do you see? What has to happen here? And 9 times out of 10, the tool maker would just kind of run his hands over the metal of that machine and say, what do you need, honey?
Wow.
You know, something like that. And then he would tweak one little thing and it would run. And everybody would go back to work. And other tool makers would come in and they would take the whole thing apart and they would put it all back together again. And sometimes it would run and sometimes it didn't. But their attitude was, this is a pain in the neck. This is mm-hmm. a pain in the butt. Mm-hmm. And that tool maker who ran his hands over that machine like it was a living thing, and just said, what do you need, honey? Like he was talking to his woman. It was just astounding.
That's cool.
And
that's so
and
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. We just need to stop for a minute and do that.
Yeah. Yeah. How often has it been that people have probably experienced, if you loan your car to someone, that something breaks on it? Have you had that
yeah.
experience? I mean, oh yeah, I've had it where people, the tire yeah. just blew out. I mean, it's like, okay, you know.
Right. Yep. Yeah, we have a rule in our family that says if you borrow something, you return it in better shape than you got it.
Good for
and
you.
And so people are paying attention. And you have to fill the gas tank. Mm-hmm. Even if it was empty, you have to leave it filled, you know, when you return it.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
So people are very careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Very energetic.
Yeah.
My dad used to say that when you used to tell me when you rent an apartment, you need to leave it in better shape than when you got in there, whatever it is, cleaner. I don't, you know. And
that's
or you when you buy a house
that's
and
right.
you sell your house, leave it in better shape than what you energetically, what's going on there? Why is that so fun and powerful?
I think we have, all of us, whether we know it or not, we have this inborn sense of order, and we're made of frequency. Okay. So we're this whole set of plasma frequencies, and the frequency spiral, there's thousands of them. Mm-hmm. Your liver is one set of frequencies. Your heart is another set. Your eyeball is another. Your toenails are something different. They all have their own frequency, and that's how they are differentiated. You know, otherwise you would have toenails growing on your eyelash where your eyelashes should be, and et cetera.
I hate it when
so
that happens.
So we
yeah.
have this... Yeah, so you have this whole set of frequencies, and you're in relationship with all the frequencies around you. And when the frequencies around you don't add to what you already are, then you come away worse off. And so the way to make sure that you are not less than, you know, I have a rule that says make sure you can do everything today that you did yesterday.
Hmm.
That's how you don't age.
Yes.
And so it's the same thing with an apartment or a house. Make it better and it makes you better. That's the bottom line.
Isn't that fun? Make it better and it makes you better. Worth Penny Kelly. Her website is consciousnessonfire.com.
Yeah.
So how do you spend your days there up in as a Michigander, what do you spend most of your time on these days?
Well, it changes from season to season, but I think the main thing here for me now is I spend a lot of time on recordings for my Patreon channel and YouTube and BitChute and, you know, all that stuff. I'm also working on Volume 5, Death, Dying, and Consciousness. I've been to the other side numerous times, and so I think it's really time for me to share a little bit more of what I know. And in that, I also there's quite a bit of stuff that has to do with other dimensions and other dimensional beings and other places in the universe that you can go. Because that's considered death here, but you're really not dead at all. You're just elsewhere.
Just going on vacation somewhere else. Right. Yeah.
Right.
If you care to join the show, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. When you say the other side, you're talking to another dimension, somewhere else where when the body maybe you die or come back. Can you talk about what that looked like for you when you went there?
Well, that's kind of a broad question. Which one? Which place?
Yeah, just pick one.
There's an array.
Was it similar to some people? I've experienced other realities where it's similar to this, but I could fly and stuff like that.
Yeah. Exactly. When you go into a different dimension, when you go into, like, my favorite place, the place I've visited the most is the Way Station. I call it the Way Station because I got that term from Robert Monroe, who was a friend of mine. And the Way Station is where a lot of people go when they leave here and they heal, and then it's very here. A lot of the vegetation of flowers are similar. It's not quite as heavy, not quite as dense.
Lighter vibration, maybe.
Etc. Yeah.
A finer vibration.
Yeah, and then you'll work, you'll contribute. You don't have to make a living over there, but you have to contribute something. Mm-hmm. You have to do some kind of work. Mm-hmm. And you get a choice. What do you want to do? And they always have their people or beings very, very kind, very advanced, very evolved beings who will present you with a list of jobs and say, you know, choose one. They all need to be done.
You want one?
Pick one. And so you work. Some people work with children. Some people work with buildings and structures. Some people, they don't really have food, although you can get food over there. And there's a lot of emphasis on development and consciousness and spirituality, etc. And so they have teachers who come in and teach. Very, very evolved beings of light who come in and teach. I think of them as the Jesus crowd, for lack of a better description. But after a while, you go to school over there, and there's two levels of school, and you go to school because you decide you're coming back here. And so you study the life you just had, and that typically takes a couple years of our time, but you study everything that you did, every word you said, every move you made, every attitude you held, all of that.
Yeah.
And then you work in a group with what some people would refer to as a soul group. I don't really call it that. I just call it your family group. But you decide, I need this, and would you come back and play mother? Would you come back and play my dad? Would you be my third grade teacher, et cetera, et cetera? And then once that's done, then you go to school actually a second time to find the exact right place to come back to where you can learn what it is you're wanting to strengthen in yourself or deepen in yourself, and then you get your people to join in and back with you. Yeah. And so
that's fun.
You've come just, back as a group.
I think you've just very eloquently kind of walked through what reincarnation is. I think you did a good job with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I suspect, too, I don't know for sure, because I always like to say things that I've experienced that I know, but I don't know this for sure. But I have heard from people that I trust, a few people, that we sometimes incarnate on other planets as well, not just planet Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can't get the situation that you need for your own development,
here,
the development of your consciousness,
go somewhere.
Yeah, if you can't get that here, there are lots of other places. Lots.
Lots of other opportunities. Kind of like, you know, lots of other cities to visit, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of them are very similar. Some of them are not. Some of them are close enough that you'd be quite comfortable.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just hope they all have the internet. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Penny Kelly is One Radio Network.com. Okay, let's talk about what's going on today. Obviously, there are forces. I think we can be very clear about that do not have our best interest at heart, right? There are forces, and they've been around since whatever, the beginning of time, haven't they? Really? It's just kind of more feisty now. Well, spiritually, what do you think's going on with us souls? What do you think why we're experiencing all of this silly stuff?
Okay, good question. What I see, what I knew before, we'll say the Trump election in 2016, what I knew was that we were coming up on a test, and that test was critical for us. We were either going to dissolve and disintegrate as a civilization if we failed the test, or we were going to make a huge shift in consciousness as a result of something new that we had to choose. We couldn't be saved. And a lot of people are waiting to be saved, but we can't be saved. We have to do this thing ourselves, and otherwise you have not earned the right to higher consciousness. Higher consciousness, I don't know if, you know, very few people, I don't know of anybody who has been in some of the high, really powerful states of consciousness that I have been in. And when you get into those states of consciousness and you experience the power that is available there, number one, you don't really fit here anymore. Number two, you have to be ready, willing, and able to move on. And number three, you can't go about your life the way you're doing it now with that kind of power in your back pocket, but it's not in your back pocket. It's in the forefront of your consciousness, and everything you think and say and do, because of the cooperative nature of reality, begins to cooperate. And so, like you were saying earlier about, don't say you've got a bad thyroid, or it goes, don't say that you don't like that house, or it disintegrates, or. We have this chance to move into, I'm going to say, a higher frequency of consciousness that has more energy and more power. And when we do that, we have to be willing to restructure the world that we live in. And that's where we're running into issues with the people who want to control everything and keep things the way they were so that they can run their little power programs and power plays, and everybody else can feed them, take care of them, be slaves, etc.
Right, right.
So it's not working very well.
Yeah, yeah, well said. And it's this, I think the idea that we alluded to before the show, that we have, in my opinion, we've created the Faucis and the Gates and the Soros and the World Economic Forum. We've created them. They're part of our reality. And
that's right.
Right? They just are. So we don't.
That's right. And when you honor what they say, when you do what they say, when you pay attention, what are you doing? You're paying homage. You're paying dues. You're paying consciousness and energy into their whatever. And they happen to have an agenda, so it goes into their agenda. So if you just laughed and said, we're not doing that.
We're not doing that.
What's the matter with you?
Yeah,
that's a whole different approach. But people don't know. They don't think. They don't feel deeply. They are very fearful. And everybody has been culturalized to just follow orders and don't think.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been taught how to do critical thinking. And when you're like I went to school with and was raised by the nuns, you learn critical thinking. And you learn it with stick. So, you know, those nuns would be in jail if they did today what they used to do. But all told, there's a huge benefit. You don't spare the child. It doesn't quite work that way, even though I like the way that sounds.
Spare the rod and spoil it, yeah.
So here we are. Yeah, we have this place of utter fear juxtaposed with this place of utter anger, and that is not a good combination. And so what we're facing generally is probably going to be some sort of explosion somewhere over the next year. And then it's going to be an explosion of consciousness, of anger, of fear, of mindlessness. I don't really want to see that happen. And yet I see that we're marching right toward that. And we've stood down too long to make it easy to now stand up. And so if we had stood up right from the beginning, it would have been much easier, much easier. But when you let people get on a roll and think that they're running the show, and then all of a sudden you step up and say, you know, then there's fighting and people get hurt.
So the longer that souls wait to wake up and smell the roses or the coffee, whichever you prefer, the harder it is, or the more difficult, or more maybe the more conflict has to happen to break out, is what I hear you say.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because when you are tending to a reality, whatever that reality is, however it's structured, all the fields, the electromagnetic fields that produce the frequencies or that maintain the frequencies and all the they actually are fibers that accumulate, all those begin to lock in together, and then it becomes very difficult energetically even to be able to change all those fields at once without collapsing the whole thing or having some kind of explosion.
I see.
It's a physical thing.
Right.
It's not just emotional or mental or political or, you know, all that. Those are all abstract. The action thing is in the world of energy. It's in the world of fields that actually produce matter. And so the longer you let something be entrenched, the more fields of energy form around that system to lock it in place. And that's what the tragedy is of what we've done over this last year and a half. And from my estimation, 50 years worth of ignoring, well, I can't do anything. Well, it's not bothering me. Well, I got enough. Well, my family's safe. Well, I don't care. Well, now we're reaping the results of that kind of helplessness, that kind of unwillingness to stand up, to speak up, etc. And so we have, there's going to be some suffering at all the levels. In terms of, there was a whole world being put together, and I'm old enough to have watched that come together, thinking, I don't like that. I don't, that, how is that going to work? How, I was raised as a very, very self-sufficient. We were farmers. You didn't, we built our own house. We had animals, goats, chickens. We went to the farm. My grandma and grandpa had a farm every weekend. We were involved in some sort of process. If something broke, you fixed it. If you needed something to eat, you cooked it. If you, you know, and you didn't just cook it, you raised it, mm-hmm. and then you picked it, and then you ate. And so that level of self-sufficiency, I was watching that disappear and thinking, you know, maybe I should modernize and get in with modern times and modern thinking. I don't need all this support stuff around me. And as I watched, the whole globalization thing came in, and I thought, wow, you know, if a country doesn't behave and they're getting their stuff from over there, what's, you know, what if you get sanctioned? And that's how the game was going to be played, is still being played. If the country is not doing what the power people want them to do, then they get sanctioned. You can't have this, you can't do that, you can't sell, you can't trade. And that's globalization. It was going to be on a massive scale to keep everybody in every country in line. And they were busy collapsing the countries. That was the other thing I was watching, thinking, you know, what happened over there? Yugoslavia just is no more. It's now Bosnia and Serbia and, you know, Croatia and all of Serbia and Montenegro, all the pieces that were put together to make Yugoslavia were all disintegrated. Why? Because nobody, the powers that be, don't want anybody to have enough resources, people, and power to build an army that could challenge them. And so they're slowly breaking down every single country, and that's what's happening to our country. And I expect the Washington, Oregon sector of the country to probably leave the U.S. or break away somewhere in the next couple of years. And then we'll have civil war and difficulties. People have to be paying attention to what's going on, and we have to be building something that works, not just running around. The sky is falling. Mm-hmm. You know, right. It's time for a mask, or it's
whatever. Penny, yeah. Can you stick around for a few more minutes? You got some time?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm having fun. Stay right
I
there. Good. Penny Kelly's with us, and let's do this if you want some probies. Well, Wayne Blakely, if we believe, as we're told, that like 80% of the immune system is in the gut, is that true?
At least.
Okay. So if you're doing probies with things, I mean, wouldn't it stand to reason that there could be things going on in the immune system that we have no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, no idea.
Absolutely.
No idea, right?
No idea.
So anything, you know.
Well, a lot of it, as they call it peptides, and, you know, these guys make up a lot of words. It's chemical reaction that goes on in your gut. It's all chemical. The enzyme is a molecule that's being formed. It's a certain kind of molecule. And in the body, the bacteria take those molecules, like food molecules that come down the upper tract, down into the lower tract, the small intestine tract, is converted from a food molecule to an amino acid, and then it's created a food molecule, and then when it gets to the lower tract, it's converted to an amino acid, changes it. But it has to have all the chemicals, and it has to have all the minerals down there to do the conversion.
And as Dr. Richard Olry has taught us, then we need the probiotics and the good bacteria to make the minerals, and the knee bone is connected to the you know what I'm saying. These are really, really nice products. About 14 different ones to choose from. Living Streams Probiotics, all in our store, OneRadioNetwork.com. These are really cool. Wayne is no longer with us. He left this reality a couple years ago. It was so hilarious. Not hilarious that he left, but he was just so, you know, he's so such a smart guy. And this happens. You see this a lot. It's just it's fascinating. He never really took care of himself. He had crazy blood sugar his whole life. And he was like type 1 and 2 by diabetes things. And, you know, he just took care of everybody else. And then he left early on. but his company's still going strong, his wife, and they have all the recipes and the sources. And these are great products, Living Streams Probiotics. We recommend you start with the multi-blend is really the number one. You can put maybe 10 drops or so of that, or a little bit more in a little bit of water when you have each meal. It's a great, great, great probiotic. They're all living and they work and they're real and it's the real thing. Living Streams on One Radio Network. This just came into my email, so I'll go ahead and read it. This is from a doctor in, I won't say the name, in a dental office in Canada. Dear Patrick, I had bought your sulfur from you at the beginning, but have been buying from another company. He mentions a company which I won't. It's not the same. Do you still send to Canada? I will send you a photo of the package. I don't really care. I don't know what the other ones are, but ours is pure. This is pure sulfur. And yeah, you don't want to switch around. Just people have been buying this for years. It's just pure sulfur. That's what it is. There's nothing else added in there. I think you'll like it. Folks actually have, speaking of dreams, they actually have more dream recall when they take the sulfur. I'm not sure what it is. It could just be, I don't know. We always dream. We're always going somewhere, as Penny and I have been talking about. But to remember them is interesting. But we have all kinds of emails over the years of people remembering their dreams and having more colorful dreams. So it's just, I don't know what's going on in the brain or the mind. It's the brain thing and the mind-brain thing with the sulfur. Maybe it's just more energy, more detoxification. Who knows? I could just make something up, but I'd be making it up. So if you want to remember more of your dreams, people have said it over and over again, they have better dream recall when they take the sulfur. I don't know. I could make something up, but that's not fair. So order our sulfur, Patrick, at One Radio Network if you want more than 4 pounds. If you just want 2 pounds, ship all over the world, Canada and United States, our sulfur on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Talking with a nice lady, Penny Kelly. She's fun to talk to. Her website is, I had it right here. Oh, it's ConsciousnessOnFire.com. Penny, I wonder what, it must be, how is it possible that some mineral could help you remember more of your dreams? I guess it must be the mind-brain kind of thing that's going on. A recall? You know, what could it be?
Yeah.
You have any theories?
Yeah, I do. I have several.
I thought you did. That's why I asked.
Yeah, I was looking at your ads and thinking, oh, wow, these are great. Right from the probiotics, you know, and right on through colostrum, the magic that happens when you combine colostrum and probiotics, OMG.
OMG.
It's astounding. And sulfur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sulfur facilitates electrical movement in the body, the brain electrical receiver transmitter. And so sulfur, you need nutritional sulfur. Absolutely have to have it. And, you know, the muscles, your big muscles are your battery packs, and that they hold a charge. And sulfur helps you hold that charge. And then it also, when you need that energy, it allows the electrical system to be able to run with a higher charge. And so when you have sulfur plus the B vitamins, especially B6, you will remember your dreams more.
What's the B6 do? What's the B6 do?
B6 is involved probably in more transactions in the body than any other vitamin, you know, hands down. And so that facilitates the kinds of transactions that, you know, consciousness is chemical. It's, you know, and the priority is you have to have the frequency. And if you've got the frequency, then you can produce the chemical, the particles. If you don't have the frequency, you're not going to be able to produce anything. So when I was Back in 88, 87, in that time frame, I was the principal of a school for learning disabled kids. And it was very, very clear that those kids were bright, but there were holes in their emotional and thinking, mental aspects. And they just didn't have the frequency to produce certain chemicals. And some of those chemicals are critical for recognition, kind of recognition of certain patterns. So the basic pattern for a human to recognize is the eyes and the the smile, the mouth. So that those two eyes and that smile, that is a universal pattern of recognition that is built into the frequencies of every single race. Okay? So when you have, when you don't have the frequencies that produce the ability, the chemical, we're chemical, we're electrochemical beings, then we don't have the ability to really feel certain things, hear certain things, perceive certain things, and the result is that we have a blank spot, or we have an autistic area in our brain, or we have a bias. Sometimes it comes across as a severe bias of some sort. And so you have to have all of the chemicals, and when you, you know, when you're born, I don't know if you've had, what's his name, Dr. Marco Ruggiero on your show?
I don't think so.
Oh, so let me just say something that's really interesting. So he started working with autistic kids, trying to figure out what was wrong. He and Dr. Campbell McBride, same, you know, work dovetailed them just immensely. So what he discovered, he and his wife is also a doctor, was that kids, we have degenerated in this country to the point that a lot of frequencies are missing. So that's one thing. This was that children, oh, so many children are being born with cesarean section. They're not being born naturally. And that is a huge risk factor for critical thinking, intelligence, genius, all of those things. Because when you're coming down the birth canal, you're being squeezed, just squeezed. There's intense pressure. And a lot of bacteria from the mother get shoved up the nose of that infant, and he swallows that bacteria. And that is a necessary first step in the development of intelligence. So you get this child who's ingested these bacteria coming down the birth canal, and now you're supposed to nurse that child. And so he gets colostrum. There's another one of your ads. So the colostrum mixes with that bacteria in the gut and produces like 160, 170, 180 different types of organisms that live in the gut and populate that gut. And they take a little bit of time to develop. And so that then, those organisms then provide you, the infant, with this amazing immune system, number one, and with the ability to eat and digest and absorb, key thing, absorb whatever, you know, that child eats over the rest of his life. But if you take antibiotics, you kill all of them.
All of them. Boom.
Yeah. And then bacteria that are not helpful, which grow much faster, and those, the bacteria that do that, some of those are streptococcus bacteria, staphylococcus bacteria. They belong in the gut as well, but they have to be controlled. They don't get much real estate in the gut. If you took the gut out of the body and laid it out, it would be about the size, I think, of a tennis court.
Yeah, I've read that. Yeah.
It's big.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah. And So you want that bacteria, staph and strep bacteria, in there to break down carbon-based materials that you cannot use in order to get whatever frequencies and whatever minerals went into the development of that carbon-based substance. You want the frequency. And so the bacteria in the gut all work together, and the result when you take antibiotics is that you destroy the 180 different kinds of bacteria, probiotic and prebiotic bacteria that belong in the gut, and the result is your intelligence suffers, your consciousness suffers, and you lose what's called high immunity. High immunity is the ability to be very comfortable in 30-degree weather, whether you have shoes or a coat or not. High immunity is where there can be tuberculosis and
anything,
chickenpox, yeah, and all kinds of stuff all around you. Yeah, and it doesn't touch you.
Yeah, interesting. Peggy Kelly is with us. It's fun stuff. You know, I've got a whole theory on this ivermectin. You've heard about this ivermectin stuff, right?
We first
were introduced by ivermectin with a lady out of Mexico. Her name is not in my consciousness at the moment, but it'll come, who was helping autistic kids. This was like 10 years ago, using ivermectin, because she said it was because of parasites. So my theory now is the reason, you see, I'll have to say this. I'm not a germ theory person, Penny. I don't believe there's a virus. I think it's all a scam. I think it's just, there's never been a virus. It's been isolated. Cowan, Kaufman, Lanka, all of them around the world we've been talking to. It doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned. And you show me the virus and I'm in. But so I think the reason ivermectin is helping people, and this is just a theory, it helps them to feel better because I think most people have parasites. So they take the ivermectin and they're getting rid of parasites. And that's why they feel better. But they think they're curing a virus. That's just my theory. I have no proof about that. I'm just making it up.
Well, you're pretty darn close, because ivermectin is a parasitic antidote for animals.
Animals and
as
people.
Well as
people. Sure, they use it for cows for years, right? For moo cows.
Right. Yeah, so one of the things to be aware of is that many of those unwelcome critters that take up residence in the gut are parasitic in nature, and they take up too much real estate, meaning they build out colonies and will attack and kill anybody who tries to get into their territory. So you have to kill off some of those in order to allow good bacteria, which grow much slower, to get in there and have a chance. And people do have parasites. If you have animals, if you have ever walked barefoot, if you have, you know, ever eaten, you know, stuck your fingers in your mouth without washing your hands, even with washing your hands, you have parasites. It's just part of the
process.
It's
part of the deal.
Of being human.
But can it be argued, though,
yes,
that when we are in fear, when we are uncomfortable, when we are uncertain about life, that that allows the parasites that are there everywhere, they're everywhere, right? The whole body's full of buggies,
yes, they are,
to get out of balance, right? And then we might say we have parasites, but we always have parasites. I mean, they're there to clean things up.
Okay, yes. Yes, it can be argued. And the reason it can be is that when you have a state of fear, a state of anger, any of those emotions, you're only wired for two emotions. One is love or pain, and the other is pleasure.
Oh.
Okay? So we could say love and fear. That's it.
That's it.
That's all the emotions are variations on those two centers, which are located in the hypothalamus. So if you trigger the pain center, you get a whole cascade of chemicals produced by the pituitary that are designed to allow you to fight off an enemy, have tremendous amount of energy. You store energy in the liver, the adrenals, the big muscles. You deplete all that, and then you have to take time to restore that But if you live in a high stress state, never hit the restoration. You never get to that point.
Never gets to back in balance.
So all
back,
yeah. Right. You want to get back in balance. That is the key. So you have to get to this place where you are free of stress and where you're putting in the right things, and you have to control. I don't think you can ever get rid of parasites, but you have to control them.
Sure.
You have to,
let them,
you know, back
get along
off every year. Yeah. Well, you have to do a parasite program every year, especially if you live in the warmer regions of the country or in the tropics, etc. Oh my gosh, people go south or go to South America, or they come back with all kinds of parasites, and their whole, you know, their whole health goes to hell in a handbasket, and they don't know what happened, and it's parasites.
Yeah.
So
I had some ivermectin in my refrigerator in a syringe, and we had to put a needle in to get it out, and it's been there for about a year.
Yep.
And my dog and I, we each had a little quarter teaspoon yesterday. First time I had some in like 2 years. It's like, I said, well, okay. So I don't know. I just took some. And it doesn't taste terrible. Oh. And I know it's safe. You can, you know, it's, you know, people are taking it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they are. And the other thing, I have some photos that somebody just sent me of the results of taking ivermectin. These are electron scanning microscopes, photos that show that if you've had the vaccine, whatever's in that vaccine begins to build out what looks like an antenna array within your body. And the ivermectin just destroys that.
Is that right?
In a hot second.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'll be done. Well,
yeah, you should see the photos. Wow.
Well, that's interesting. So, wow. Somebody actually saw photos of the blood after this injection and then taking ivermectin, and it improved?
Yeah. 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 It can't get going. It can't. I should send you the photos.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. No, I'd love to see it. That's the first time I'm hearing this. This whole injection thing and this whole COVID thing, and obviously, as you know, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, probably too much, that it's just about fear and control, right? This is all this thing is about.
Well, here's the thing. If you don't have the right chemicals to begin with, you're going to have fear. It's the chemical that produces the feeling, the fear. You have to change the chemistry. You have to change the frequency. And then you can change, you know, the feeling, the emotional expression of that, whatever it is you're feeling.
But isn't it true, though, Penny, that we as souls, spiritual beings, our state of consciousness, we can change that from above, right, without taking, you know that, right? Talk about that. I mean, isn't that where the action is, rather than trying to fix it on the physical?
Right. Well, I tell people, a lot of my students and clients, you have to do the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual.
Do it all. Huh?
You can't leave one out. And when you do that, you're almost guaranteed healing. But that's what consciousness is for. It's to change the frequencies. You change your thinking, you change your imaging, you change what you're listening to, and you change your entire frequency set, the matrix of individual frequencies that make up you. And that's what you have control over. Now, you can get to the point where you can have an impact on others, but by gosh, if you haven't practiced on yourself, you're not going to get very far, and you don't have much power. You don't have any oomph.
Any mojo, right? And we talk a lot about that. My theory is that I don't care what they, whoever they are. We call they Doug and Mel. Have you know that? That's who they are. Doug and Mel.
Yeah,
Doug and Mel.
I do.
No matter what Doug and Mel do, that I believe in my heart, my dear, is that we can protect ourselves through our state of consciousness. I don't care what they've got, 4G, 5G, 12G, 15G, whatever, you know.
Right.
I would never believe that something can hurt me. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, well, I think it's really important to maintain that. And I also tell people, develop some sort of symbolic action. You know, maybe that action is just you're sweeping your hand
whatever
across your front of you. Some, there has to be a physical action that goes with the consciousness, because it boosts the energy of that consciousness. And that's really, if you can do that, I've had lots of people do different things. And you decide what
Yeah. Get creative, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can do all kinds of techniques for that, to build your aura, to protect yourself. People put up mirrors. I mean, whatever works for you, right? Because it's real.
That's right.
It's real.
That's right. Because we live in a symbolic reality. When you have a physical reality, you're surrounded by symbols, and they are symbolic of the energy that is moving in your sphere of influence and experience. And that is just the bottom line. So when you live in a symbolic reality and you don't know what any of the symbols mean, and you don't know how to actualize symbols of your own, you're kind of crippled.
So give me an idea of what you mean is symbolic reality, something that we could kind of understand what you mean by that. Give us
let's see here. God, there's so many. So a wall is a symbol of an obstacle. A fence is a symbol of an obstacle or a problem. Mm-hmm. It's something in your way. Water is a symbol of emotion, universal symbol. Every culture on the planet has water as symbolic of emotion. There are, within cultures, individual things that occur in a culture that are unique to that culture, but then there are symbolic meanings that are universal. So the clothing you wear is symbolic of what how you want to present yourself. A lot of people's cars are symbolic of their sexuality or their ego or their whatever. Same with a house, but a house is a symbol of protection from the rain and the storms of life. Everything is symbolic of some form of energetic activity. A cup, the symbol of a cup is to hold something that you can drink from. And it sounds elementary, but it is. And we don't understand symbols at all. But we're surrounded by it. And then when we create symbols that are awful, we say, oh, what's wrong? Why did that happen? I'm like, oh my God. Okay. Okay, you have to understand the language of energy. And I actually teach that, and it's something that people get. And so it's like, oh, you see the world differently. You see the world as energy that has taken form in some thing, some physical thing, in order to perform a service. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. So that's why all these different groups and stuff that Doug and Mel join and do, and the money, the symbols, they're all symbols and statues and all these weird, they're loaded with them, right? Just
right.
Everywhere. Yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
Everywhere. Yeah. And do we bother to have symbols of our own? Sometimes not. A lot of times not. Look at the symbolism of, what was that thing, that metal plate that was found in Utah that was stuck in the sand in some canyon?
Obelisk, what do they call that thing? And they were popping up all over, weren't they?
It wasn't an obelisk. Yeah, right. Those were symbols. Somebody was messing with us. And, most of them were taken out.
Right.
But, I went out in my backyard and stuck a screwdriver in the ground and said, here's my symbol. You're not screwing us.
Good for you.
So, grounded, in other words. And that's an example of symbolic behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that language of energy is, it's an ancient language. It used to be called the language of the birds. I did not know that when I first coined the term, the language of energy, but Kundalini leads you to understand energy and the interactions between energy and the patterning, to recognize patterns, and then to go from there to see, well, this is where we're headed. Can you see that? And people, oh, no, where'd you get that? Well, look at the pattern.
Can't see that, right? And We're talking with Penny Kelly. Consciousness on Fire is, you can see there is her website, Penny Kelly. Before we go, I got a couple emails and I want to talk more about what's going on, but give yourself a plug, kind of what you do on your website. You said you teach it. Tell folks about what services you might offer if they want to visit you with you.
Okay, so... So I have a website, Consciousness on Fire, there, and I sell my books and classes there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're often sold out, but the books are not sold out. The books are always available, but the classes sell out quickly. But you can see what's offered, and sign up for something if you get interested. I have a Patreon page, and I post videos, teaching videos there regularly. Sometimes, 5 or 6 a week.
Wow.
Then I have BitChute and I have Rumble, and then there's a bunch of podcasts, Stitcher, Apple, those kinds of things. So I can be found around and am busy trying to teach the world about the mind and consciousness so we can get out of this mess and make this leap that we're, this shift in consciousness that we're headed toward, that we need to make.
That's great. So the Patreon thing is cool. I don't know much about it, but it's a way that people can kind of become part of a group. I have one fellow that I support because he's really very interesting, Tom Luongo, and we have him on once a month or so about the financial system. He's good. Yeah, he's great. So I support him. I send him $10 a month. You know? Do you know Tom?
Yeah.
Isn't
I do? I do. Before he ever even got on Patreon or on the web,
interesting.
He belonged to a group that I got a newsletter from, and he did an analysis of China way back.
He's
in,
on it, isn't he?
20.
He's really fascinating guy. You know. So I think it's important that we support people like that and you that are doing these things. So that's what the Patreon thing is. You can do that with Penny. We don't do that right now. We just promote products, but that's pretty cool. So so let's talk about, before we go then, and in this email will lead us into us, Penny Kelly. Will it take civil war for us to change as a nation, taxes, lockdowns, lies from government and institutions? Someone is asking you.
It doesn't need to, but until I see a change in the pattern, that is where we are headed. It's still out there, maybe another year or two, but the pattern is still there, unfortunately. I don't want that. I'm hoping that we can get past that. Oh, I'm losing my voice. Excuse me.
That's all right.
So if we can, get past that need to fight one another, then we have a future in front of us that is phenomenal. If we have made that shift, I'd say, if you imagine the whole scenario as we've got this boat, it's in the water, and everybody's in the water trying to get on the boat. If the U.S. was one of the people in the water, it's got a handhold on the boat, but it's not got a leg in yet, and it's not in the boat yet.
Am I hearing you saying a lot of this is about the opposite of what Doug and Mel are trying to do, which is divide us, black and white, men and women, left and right, whatever, vaxxed and non-vaxxed. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on.
I know. And people don't see it. They don't hear it. You have to begin to recognize what brings us together and what takes us away from one another.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm very, very attuned to all of that.
Yeah.
And every month I do a little thing called a look-see that I put on Patreon, and then I think a week or two later it goes out on YouTube. But it's a look at, this is where we're at right now. This is what I see. Here's the things unfolding. Here's the patterns that I see in motion. And I try to note from month to month, have we changed? Are we getting there? Can we hope? I feel very hopeful. At the same time, I also sense that something very big is coming. Very disruptive.
I guess it's easy to conjecture that this whole the election thing and then the COVID thing, and it's all part of this big we're actually already beginning to think about the idea that even this shedding phenomena may be a false flag, may be another trick that Doug and Mel are using to keep people separate, you know, because, you know, vaccines have always shed, Penny Kelly. You know, kids have been back since the beginning of time. They shed. It hasn't killed us yet. So careful about this shedding thing. A lot of it could be fear porn and controlled opposition. Could be. I don't know.
You know, my first impression?
What is it?
This is another example of mass hysteria.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I fell for it for about 2 days.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, wait a minute, let's not do this.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to look at it. You have to, as you say, fall for it in order to really go in and process it deeply. If you never come out of that, well, you're lost. But if you go in and then come out and say, you know, something about that doesn't ring true.
Right.
That's where, you know, you come out and you say, okay, what evidence do we have to the contrary? We have been played this last year and a half like my old piano.
Yeah.
And the music is not very pretty. There's a lot of stuff that is not harmonic. And I think when people realize that the whole thing was a scam in order to get us to take the injectable, they're going to be angry.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So to kind of wrap, is it possible then that this entire thing that, well, I guess, you know, start a couple years of war, or maybe with the Trump election and then with the election fraud that happened, and I think it was a coup d'etat. I believe it was been proven that there were people just took this thing over. That's pretty wild, isn't it, when you think about that happened in this country, just in plain sight, and the courts wouldn't even look at it. I mean, it wasn't like they ruled against it.
I know.
They just wouldn't even look at it. It's like, okay, what's up with that? You know, it's like, what's up with that?
It's exactly what it is. It's a coup, period, hands down. However, we signaled, as a population, we signaled in 2016 that we were looking for something different.
Yeah.
We now have to follow that with action. And we are being shown what kind of action is going to be required. And, I very much think people need to use their consciousness, but I'm very much a proponent of, look, this is a physical reality. You have to have physical action because we're just not powerful enough yet to do it all with consciousness. So what's the action? And in what situation do you choose to not act? You know, I've been a Toltec student of Don Juan for probably 40 years. Not doing is almost as powerful, in some cases more powerful than doing.
Yeah.
So what is thing that has to happen? You know, and I've said on somebody else's show, I can't remember who, you know, what if we all just did the old-fashioned student sit-in sat down in our house, and people are like, I've been in my house long enough. You know, they don't want to hear that. But what if no spending, nobody went to work, nobody moved any money, nobody bought anything? What is the just do that for 3 days. What is
the whole thing would explode. They would just, yeah, they wouldn't know what to do. These people, Doug and Mel,
right.
They would just go apoplectic.
That's right. And the bigger thing, the bigger benefit is that all the people who sat down and said, now wait, I'm not participating in this, you know, they would discover their power. So that's the bigger benefit.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, the guys who don't have anything moving and they aren't making any sales, you know, and they're being boycotted left and right. That's all, that's their lesson. But for us, the lesson is what happens when you come together. What happens when you stand as one for just a few days and it's not even uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
Just have everything you need for 3 days.
That's it. Okay, I'm with you. I'm on your team. Okay, you got me.
Now, there's doing and then there's not doing. And that's the difference in between an awakened consciousness and one that's not awake. You know, when do you walk away?
And just say no. Just say, thanks, I'm good. Right?
That's good.
I'm good.
Yeah, what is that song Kenny Rogers saying? You got to know when to hold them.
Hold them and when to fold them.
When to fold up.
Hold them, when to fold them. Well, my dear, you're really
that's
fun
right.
to talk to. It's been an honor. And thank you so much for coming on our show. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking so much time.
You're
welcome. Been fun. We'll stream this and visit Penny on her website, and it's called Consciousness on Fire.
ConsciousnessOnFire.com.
Up in the great state of Michigan, where you have a Looney Tunes governor, but she's going to come around. You wake. She's going to wake up someday, and she's going to wake up and say, whoa, what am I doing? All right, my dear, take care of yourself. Thanks a lot for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye. May the blessings be. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. My interface and my camera thing is not happy, but, you know, so you just can take the red pill and you'll be happy. So we're going to take a break here. I did hear from Melody Krell, who's in New York, and we were going to talk about some fun things that she believes there's a whole lot more going on as far as big changes geopolitically than we know about. But she told me her internet is not happy. So I don't know what's working. So we're not sure when we're going to have her on, but I think it's going to happen this afternoon. So you stay right there, and then we'll be back. Penny, stay right there a second. Are you still there? Oh, no, I think she may have disconnected. I wanted to talk to her. Anyway, but her internet is happy. We were going to have her on at noon. But so we'll see. So kind of stay tuned, check in with us, and we'll figure out what's going on. Her internet is not happening. But I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support. We appreciate it. And may the blessings be. See you soon.
We are listener supported. One Radio Network.